daily news, breaking updates, and exclusive podcasts. iTricks.com.
Hello and welcome to the Magic Week in Review, bringing you news, rumor, and culture reports from the front lines of the magic industry. I'm Justin Robert Young, editor of iTricks.com, and in this October 5th, 2008 edition of the program, you'll hear about Believes Press, The Masked Magician's Return, Nathan Burton's Hernia, and stay tuned later to hear which cult television director once made a movie starring Penn Jillette. But here to help with all of this is a TV magic legend whose DVD Secret Cabaret covers two series of his landmark UK show. Ladies and gentlemen, iTricks is very proud to welcome to the program Simon Drake. How you doing, Simon?
Hey, Justin. Nice to speak to you. I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic. And again, it is great to have you on. I just rewatched some of the Secret Cabaret DVD last night just to reacquaint myself of some of the stuff you did on there. And I have to say, I cannot speak highly enough. And we'll get into it a little bit later in the show. But the DVD, the opportunity to own the DVD, maybe not long for this world, right?
That's right. Well, thank you for the kind words.
But first, if you would like to fire back on anything you hear in this podcast, email show at iTricks.com. But first, let's get to a word from our sponsor, and that is World Magic Shop. You know, World Magic Shop might be based in the United Kingdom, and they certainly are the creators of Cutting Edge, the wizard range of magic, which includes the worldwide bestsellers Wizard PK Ring, Bang On, Refraction, and Coin Vex by David Penn, and Attack the Bag, Flipped Out and Spit Happens by Craig Petty, and many others. But to support and facilitate their American customers, they've opened a U.S. site that stocks over 6,000 items. All items from this site will be shipped from the U.S. to ensure it gets to your door that much quicker. The site's located at worldmagicshop.com, or European customers can visit worldmagicshop.co.uk. And for the whole of October, everybody will get a 10% discount, and the code is 10USA, again, 10USA in all capitals. Remember, here in the States, it's worldmagicshop.com, or in Europe, worldmagicshop.co.uk. Let's get into this week's news. This week's big story is believe, or rather the lack of belief in Chris Angel's Luxor show from some of the newspapers and reporters after the first week of previews. On Monday, two columns hit. One from the Las Vegas Review-Journal, quoting exiting theatergoers who savaged the production, and I truly do mean savage. I can't go into some of the quotes now, but they were brutal. Then the Los Angeles Times Vegas reporter, who writes the Mobile Buffet blog for the paper's website, wrote a review based on actually viewing the show, which seemed to come off as a little bit more reasonable, but not exactly optimistic. Finally, the Las Vegas Sun got an interview with Chris himself, and that was at the end of the week, who said that the show has some road to travel before hitting the big opening of October 31st, but admitted he's going to have to tweak some illusions, including one where he cuts himself in half because he says the audience is confused about whether they're cheering for his death. Simon, you know a little something about putting together a big, theatrical, gruesome spectacle. So what have you heard about Believe? We'll start with that. What have you heard?
Not just gruesome. I've done a lot of other stuff apart from the gory stuff. But it's a kind of double answer I've got on this. I thought about this a bit. I've only just heard about it really here because we're in London. It's miles away. It's certainly not fair to totally condemn a show which is in previews. That's the most important thing here. It's really not fair because previews are there to sell cheap tickets and get an audience reaction to stuff. And while they're working out stuff out, and I mean, I've been through this process with many times with advising on shows and what have you, and it really isn't fair to review it during the previews. Review it on the opening night. That's the press night. Now, what the public say is fine. They're not professional reviewers, but it isn't fair. They don't know that, but it isn't really fair on Chris Angel or anyone else to do that. And having said that, I don't... My thing on this is, I did 500 shows doing my 12-minute act at that time back in the 70s when I still had a day job for under $20, $25 each, or the equivalent here, literally for my taxi fare.
Yeah.
I could fit my prop, I could fit my act on me. I carry a table, and, you know, it was cumbersome, but I was young.
Yeah.
And I'd go and do as many gigs as I could to get the experience on stage. So I paid my dues, so I knew. After those 500 shows, I started getting expensive. I started doubling my fee, but I did those shows for next to nothing. It was a lot of work, over 3 years or something like that, I think it was. And after that time, I could walk onto a stage, and I had something of a different presence than I was born with. It was something you can't explain, but it really helped me. And I don't think either Chris or David Blaine have had that training. They come through the world of close-up and other stuff. I know more about Blaine than I do about Angel, but I don't think they pay those dues so much. So you put Chris Angel into this situation, which is the equivalent of a huge, even bigger than a Broadway show. I mean, you're talking $85 million, which is extraordinary amount of money.
Yeah.
Where you've got all these heads of departments and all this politics going on, and he's just worried about his magic to get it across and get it across as best he could. Obviously he is. He's a hard worker. And you've got a lot of other problems going on. So he's having a hard time now. And I don't think it's fair to condemn the show yet. You know, the bits I've read, okay, it sounds embarrassing, it sounds this, but it's just not fair. So having said that, I do think, I'm not sure he's had the apprenticeship to do this kind of work, because I don't know him as a stage performer. I don't know much about him.
He did have a stage show several years ago in the basement of the old WWF restaurant in Times Square, which was similar to this in terms of a big theatrical, you know, dreamscape kind of elements to it. But this is definitely, he's never done anything on this size. And I would say few people have gone from zero to 60 in terms of...
Very difficult to do. And the departments and all the politics, you know, he might be really worried about the trap showing up. And he'll speak to various people about it and they'll go, yeah, sure. And nothing will happen. You know, that kind of stuff happens on this. It's a really frustrating world. I know it from West End Theatre here, the equivalent of Broadway. It's a very, very difficult thing to do.
This is Michael Lau with a Magic Business News update. Flash! The economy b****s. This means you must more effectively than ever before market your magic business. At Horizon Monster Productions, we can help you. Our video production wing can produce quality web streaming or broadcast quality video you need to show your clients your magic. Or our professional press releases can get you the local media attention you need for your shows and events. Visit us at www.horizonmonster.com to learn more. Mention iTrix and waive the initial $10 setup fee on press releases. Now, back to you, Justin.
The Masked Magician is back. The specials are now a series, and they air on blah, 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 at blah, 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 Eastern Time. In all seriousness, iTrix did receive word that from a Hollywood source that with the production, a Hollywood source familiar with the production, that members of the famed Magic Castle were participating in the series. We ask you if you know the names of the magicians. We are more than willing to publish them on iTrix. Just email justin@itrix.com. Your anonymity is guaranteed. Simon, does it damage the reputation of the castle if this is true, or is this just one of those things in magic that we can't control and should just leave alone?
I'm going to email you. It's Valentino, I'm going to say.
Yeah. Valentino is publicly listed as a producer, but I don't think that was much of a surprise.
The old Mark's legit. He's the old one, isn't he? I'm going to give this really zero airtime. Any kind of exposures is bad for magic, unless you're learning from a book. It's bad. Television is instant knowledge. It's bad to do. Even if they're exposing crap, it's bad for magic. The magic circle, if Bill Larson was still in charge there, this would not be happening. He isn't.
Yeah.
It's completely wrong. This will discredit the Magic Castle hugely in the magic fraternity, eventually to the others. It won't do them any good at all. It will, commercially. It will get them more publicity, and that's why they're doing it, and for money. It's bad. Don't do it. Don't go there. Don't get involved. I've been invited to so many shows on telly where you're exposing something, or I'm teaching something, or it's a kind of Survivor type, Big Brother type show where, you know, I'm brought in as an expert. I just say no to all of them. I'm not interested in exposing magic in the media at all. I think it's crazy. You know, that's it.
Indeed. I do want to point out that this is not, the Magic Actual is not doing anything publicly. They're not publicly supporting this. We've heard that there are people who are Magic Castle members who are doing it. So if we hear
That's quite different. I mean, so the Magic Castle isn't endorsing this.
No. This is,
in that case, yeah, that's quite different. That doesn't reflect on the Magic Castle. It just happens, they happen to have a lot of members and they're magicians. And some of these magicians have been stupid enough to get involved in this.
Exactly.
People will do this. They'll do it for money. They're going to offer lots of money. I mean, it's Fox. It's Fox originally, Murdoch's company, who also, you know, ruined television in this country. I don't know about in America, but there was already a lot of television there. But, you know, this is sinister and exploitative and is not good for our craft.
All right. Now a word from our sponsor, whyshopronjo.com. It's simple. Ronjo.com is simple, is focused on customer satisfaction, superior service, hassle-free returns, and Ronjo proudly maintains a live updating online inventory system so you, the customer, will always know what's in stock. Fast shipping's another reason all in-stock items ship the same day of the orders placed by 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Customers automatically earn one reward point for every dollar spent at Ronjo.com, and every 20 reward points earned may be converted to $1 store credit when checking out. Just another one of the services provided by Ronjo.com. Ronjo.com, a great shopping experience. But wait, if you use the coupon code ITRIX, you will receive a 20% discount. So do that, because why not? Our best goes out to Nathan Burton, who herniated a disc last weekend and had to be sidelined from his Flamingo show. Simon, have you ever suffered any big injuries in the line of duty?
In my 20s and 30s, I suffered many injuries. I'm a lot more careful now, and I don't do those kind of, you know, being hung by the neck and impaled illusions as much. But I've been set on fire and been burnt. I did one show in London. I had a second-degree burn on my arm in my sleeve from my costume catching fire in the first 2 minutes of the show and had to carry on for another hour.
Oh.
And one of the jackets I wore was gold braiding, which went around on the inside. If you can imagine that scratching against your...
Oh.
I don't know what it scratches against, but it wasn't funny.
And something crunchy.
That was nasty. I've still got the scar. That was in 84, long before Secret Cabaret. And when I was hung in Secret Cabaret, I had a stiff neck for a while. That was weird. But it affects other things, which I won't go into. I've had a few. I cracked a couple of ribs when I did the guillotine. I mean, there's people on YouTube, I'm told, saying that I was taken to hospital, I broke ribs. I didn't break any ribs. I cracked a couple of ribs. It hurt when I laughed and sneezed for a while. You know, it wasn't a big deal. But I fell through a hole at the Hammersmith Odeon, which is a huge music venue in London, opening for Elton John, Peter Gabriel, Tom Robinson and Phil Collins, which is on Christmas Eve 1980. And they put me on catwalks in front of all these different bands they had all together, and there was no room on the stage. And I did my cane, and the stroke came on with the dancing cane.
Yeah.
I couldn't see the catwalks, and I fell down a hole.
Oh.
And the audience just went mad because there were 4,000 of them, and they thought that I disappeared in between the flashes in the front of a very big stage, and I just vanished, and they went nuts. They thought it was great. You know, so that was an opening act. And, I mean, half the applause was the fact that I'd gone.
Yeah,
because they wanted to see these pop stars. And the other half was, wow, that was sensational. And I landed 9 feet later on the base of my spine on a piece of scaffold bar.
Oh!
And if I did that now, I'd be in a wheelchair probably. But it was apparently about an inch away from my coccyx, which if you break it, you're finished. You're paralyzed.
Yeah, you are very lucky.
So I've had lots of things in my 20s and 30s, and touch wood, not anymore.
Wow. I can only imagine that mental picture of you just slumped over a scaffolding bar with a dancing cane, just sillily bouncing, you know, hither and thither.
The cane would still work afterwards. I crawled back to the back, came out up from a ladder up to the stage again, and I went back on the stage, and there's roadies on the stage with torches looking down the holes, with the audience all screaming, looking for me. Where's that Simon Drake? And I come on again, sort of slightly limping with my cane, holding it up, and they all go nuts. It was great, and that was the end. But it was a difficult show. And it was all, you know, it was very early in my performing career. And then in 95, I got tired of touring and tired of television, tired of that kind of thing. And I bought a huge derelict early Victorian pub in Southwark, in the oldest borough of London. And it was a terrible mess, this place. I mean, it was a filthy, with 20 skips of, I don't know if you have skips in the States, what you call them, they're things builders put rubbish in, you know, big metal.
Okay,
thing,
garbage, right? garbage bins.
Yeah, but they're huge, and you put the building waste.
Dumpsters,
in them.
Dumpsters.
About 20, I think it was 22 skips of rubbish came out of this building before we even started doing anything. And that was in 95, and that was now 13 years ago or something, and it became what is now the House of Magic, which is the only place I work, really.
Yeah, and yeah, and that's what we definitely want to get to. That is your live venue right now, and we learned about it on iTrix this week. Because our weekend editor, Andrew Webb, went there, I guess it was last weekend, for his bachelor party. He's getting married, I believe, this week. So congratulations to him. And he also was the one who set up this interview. So big thank you to Andrew Webb. He's going to be taking
And congratulations. I think he's getting married tomorrow.
Oh, tomorrow. Tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah. It's
which I guess by the time that this gets on the internet will be 2 days ago.
They came here a week ago. Very nice. And he brought a group of magicians. And, you know, not one of them had to be thrown out drunk. You know, it's unusual. I'm just kidding.
Oh, that is great. But, yeah, okay, so how can people, for all of our UK listeners, how can they experience the House of Magic?
Really, really easy. They just go onto the website, houseofmagic.co.uk, and they look at the public night page and either email us or call up the office, the ticket line, and see if we've got availability. We do. What happens, I started doing a few corporate and private parties here for a few years, and it was in the 80s where people were still spending lots of money on that stuff, and that went very well. And then I had a lot of people who write to me or email and saying, how can we come and see your show? We understand you stopped touring. So we started doing these public nights about 6-7 years ago, and we did them I think we did a few in a year just to try them out, and then we started doing them once a month on the last Friday of every month, and they've been really good. And so we do that throughout the year, a big one at Halloween, and we do about five or six shared ones in December, Christmas things, and it's really good. And otherwise we do corporate things here for whoever, mobile phone companies and the like, and private, but we do a lot of 40th and 50th birthday parties. So you know, we figure by the time you're 40 or 50, you've got a few quid put away, you know.
Yeah, why not? So
we discourage 18 and 21st parties because, you know, the liability of worrying about young people drinking is a little bit much for me. So it's been a great thing. It's been the most fun I've ever had. I've got a team of about 20, and we do a full show downstairs, and I live above it. I'm there now.
That's awesome. That is
great. I
know,
it's really amazing. Huge. It's 4,000 square foot, and the cellar and the ground floor go back 200 years. It is really like a historic, amazing building, and I've restored it back into early Victorian from the mess it was when I got it. You know, we stripped it right down and got to the bits underneath and polished them up when they worked and put in new things, you know, that were very old, the French chandeliers and whatnot. And it's been the best fun I've ever had. I don't, you know, I was talking to my great friend, Amazing Jonathan, who I think is the best magician in history.
Uh-huh.
The Amazing Jonathan.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I mean, you know, let's face it, his magic sucks, but he's probably the funniest guy, the funniest guy you're ever going to meet. And the guy I went to Vegas a couple of years ago for a week to see shows and to catch up on some stuff. And I ended up in his show 3 of the 5 nights I was there.
That's awesome.
I really couldn't not go. It was just so amazing. He's just great. And we hung out all day and played water volleyball and rode on his Segways. And, you know, I mean, and I was talking to him and he said, I really envy you, you know, Simon. He said, you don't have to do 90 minutes every night. And if you're late, you're in trouble. If you go over time, you're in trouble. You know, working for the casinos. You're like, we're like battery chickens out here. You know, you can work when you want. If you don't want to work, you don't have to take an event. You know, I mean, this is fantastic. You also don't have to leave your house. They come
to
you.
Which is a help,
yeah. And I said, Jonathan, I'm not on $6 or $8 million a year. I don't know what he gets, but I'm sure it's a hell of a lot. But it doesn't really matter, because after a certain amount of money, what are you going to spend it on, you know?
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of working for money is a waste of time. I mean, ask David, you know, Copperfield. I mean, how much more money do you need, Dave? You know, and I mean, you know, we're the same age, me and him. And I kind of think, well, I kind of like it, because I can spend my time creating stuff and doing what I want. And work, if I work once a week, it's fine. If I work once a fortnight, it's okay. You know, it's fine doing the show and all that. So, you know, it's good. So the public nights, as I said, are then. And they're, you know, if magicians come, I'm always happy to chat to them and meet them and, you know, talk about David Copperfield and David Blaine and David Bowie and anyone called David, really.
David Excellent. Burdoff. All right, so houseofmagic.co.uk is the website, correct?
That's right.
All right.
And the DVD's on secretcabaret.com.
Secretcabaret.com.
And I guess I reckon there's probably a couple of months left. It may be 1 month. It may be 6 months. I don't know.
I will just say to anybody, if you are not familiar with it, if you are intrigued by the idea of lighting a cigar off somebody's flaming corpse or, you know, other such awesome, bizarre magic. And it's not all gruesome. It's not all bizarre. There's some really awesome classic stuff there. But Secret Cabaret, the DVD, highly recommended. And I know that right now listening to this will be at one point Andrew Main, who really wanted to be on this podcast, but he is seething with jealousy that he cannot talk to Simon Drake, because I believe he mentioned in the video review he did for AndrewMain.com that it is David Copperfield, Doug Henning, and Simon Drake on his top three TV magic of all time. So very highly recommended for Simon Drake's Secret Cabaret. All right.
Thank you.
And well-deserved, well-deserved. Feedback from our listeners. Randy Rain wrote about our episode last week. From what I have read, they did take cell phones from the audience members, which is wrong. This is about the Criss Angel Believe show, which we touched on a little bit earlier. I disagree that it is like checking your mink coat at the door. Your mink coat does not contain personal, private, and important information on it. Criss is lame. Why can't people see that? Well, thank you very much to Randy. And we touched on that a little bit earlier about how dangerous it is to audience.
But your mink coat's going to have your DNA on it.
It certainly will.
CSI might get hold of that. And but I think the mobile phone thing's very interesting. I really do. And I mean, we did cover it, but it's to stop people putting bits on the internet. I'm absolutely sure. Why else? There's no other reason.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not even just putting it on YouTube. I mean, there are services that put it out live. You know, there's a lot of things that you can do with a mobile phone now. But like you mentioned, you know, it's not going to get any easier. And, you know, for every camera that you stop, there's a flip camera that you can record.
Actually, in a way, it should all be free, because it kind of is on the internet. Television's dying. The internet's taking its place. Don't forget, television pushed out a lot of stuff when it came in.
Yeah,
and now its turn is to be edged out, and the internet, and they, you know, the people. I mean, the record business, the television industry is they're all really worried, because how are they going to make all that money? Still, they're going to have to understand the internet, and so the world will be controlled by 17-year-old geeks. You know, it's great. And so, in a way, I think it's a good thing, because information and this stuff, in a way, should be free. I mean, I'd love to be able to send out my work for free. I'd love to be able to. If I could, I would. It wouldn't bother me, because I make enough doing my show. I mean, it's kind of like, well, okay, there'll be a torrent of it. You can download the whole thing somewhere. I'm sure of it. I haven't really looked at it, but I'm absolutely sure there is. I know YouTube have got bits on it, and they're not the best bits by any means, but I don't have a real problem with it. It's all this copyright and all this nonsense and greed that gets in the way of it all. It's kind of like, oh, get over yourself. You know, I think this stuff, in a way, should be free. There's a lot of people in entertainment make far too much money.
Yeah. Well, you know, I guess it is the fine line between the over copywriting of things, which I think that people can agree that there are some instances where that happens, and also the idea of protecting some way to make money, that if you know, you want to sell something on the internet because it is this new medium, that there is a viable way to make some kind of living for the smaller guys, not necessarily even the bigger guys.
It's almost impossible to police. And the smaller guys, I mean, I think, you know, I'm talking about the guys who've already got 50 million.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, how much more do you need? You know, you don't need more money. Relax, because they got all that money. They're sitting there with the water falling through their fingers in pain, going, God, someone put a torrent of my work on. You know, they're going mad. And actually, relax, enjoy, go to your, you know, go to the beach resort and enjoy it. You know, just stop worrying about it. It doesn't matter. You can't take it with you. You're only here for a little while. You know, it's just greed, really. I don't think it's necessary, but I'm not talking about anyone in particular. I just think the whole attitude of, you know, the huge royalties and all this stuff has kind of got a bit out of hand. So here comes the internet along, and it kind of boots it up the bum, doesn't it? It kind of
does. I don't think I can pick any other better phrase than boots it up the bum.
Yeah, exactly. And it's an open thing where information is freely available. And I mean, it's very hard to stop that. It's going to be extremely hard. They'll do a test case here or there, somebody downloading music. Well, that's going to stop the other 20 million people from doing it, and let alone the sort of people in the Far East who, you know, they're not going to know. They're just going to carry on doing it because they can.
Yeah, yeah. All
it's
right.
It's a very difficult thing to police. Once you start trying to police it, you're in a painful area because you're not going to be able to.
No. It has certainly proved a bugaboo from anybody who has tried. All right, everybody, if you have anything to write in about this show, and I think there's going to be plenty, it is show@itricks.com, or just leave a comment on the Magic Week in Review post on iTricks. All right. One more word from our sponsor. Has your online magic shop given you the bird? Been let down when you received the trick that wasn't exactly what you thought it was? Need a professional opinion before you click the buy button? TrickShopMagic.com is a real magic shop located in Southern California, and it's proud to announce their new live chat feature. At any time while you're browsing the over 6,000 magic items, simply click on the live chat button and a magician will be standing by to assist you with your questions. Again, TrickShopMagic.com. Because Sam Blankenship, who runs it, is awesome, and you should support him.
Yeah.
As we mentioned at the top of the podcast, Penn Jillette was once the star of a film directed by Paul Feig, the man behind the cult hit Freaks and Geeks, as well as the current co-producer of NBC's version of The Office. All this according to a profile in the New York Times Magazine last weekend. The film was called Life Sold Separately and centered around four strangers who met in a field to get away from the pressures of existence. Simon, are there any lesser-known projects that fans of yours would enjoy tracking down?
I'm not going to tell them about my career as a porn actor back in the 60s. No, I'm kidding you.
Yes.
I did about 20 TV appearances before Secret Cabaret, one-off things.
Okay.
When there were still production budgets, and some of them are incredibly embarrassing. I mean, I look about 12. The work isn't bad. I mean, it's not bad. I've got them on old steam-driven video, you know.
Yes.
But I mean, they're
shoveling coal.
Be able to find them, and if they do, put them on YouTube. I don't care, but you know, I'll be embarrassed. But some of them are great. Some of them are a little bit embarrassing. But you always look back on yourself and think, my God, did I look like Chuchi from Happy Days? It's kind of like that. And also, I mean, you know, we've covered the sort of main things, Secret Cabaret, Raising Hell. They're the main things that are out there that are gettable-ish. And I've done a lot of consultancies on films. I mean, probably the best was Fairy Tale. I coached Harvey Keitel for a month to be Houdini.
Okay.
And there's some lovely stuff in that. It's not... It's visually very nice if Houdini escapes and that whole era. So that was interesting. I was just behind the scenes there, but I did a lot of work on that and with Oliver Reed on Castaway. And if any of you think your job's hard, try spending a month with Oliver Reed teaching him sleight of hand. And if you don't know who Oliver Reed is, he was the guy that died when they made Gladiator. He was a very famous British actor who was something of a white wine expert. Meaning he was a very bad drinker. And
gotcha.
My God. And actually, he was a very sweet man. He was a very, very, I was very fond of him. But he had a very bad illness of alcoholism there, did old Ollie. And spending a month with him trying to teach him sleight of hand, I could write a book about it and it would make you fall over laughing because he's just everything he did was very funny and all scary, you know. But
indeed.
Other than that, I've done little bits and pieces in films and little odd appearances here and there, but nothing on the level of Mr. Penn Jillette, I'm sure. Was that a naked scene he did there?
I don't know if it was nude. Do not know
well,
if it was
not.
Nude. but we'll see. I'll tell you what, I'm very, very excited to see it. I'm a big fan of Mr. Paul Feig's work, and to see a movie starring Penn Jillette is really the best of both worlds for me.
Wow.
But But yeah, okay. So right now you would say the lesser seen work would be the one-offs of the TV shows. Is there any?
Some of that stuff is there's some good work on it, but it's I don't think anyone will ever find it because it's way back in the late 70s, early 80s. And there's about 20 telly things, and I wouldn't have thought it was even catalogued. I don't even think they keep some of those shows. I have no idea. I mean, the only place I know where it is in my locked cupboard of videos that I've got of my old work.
Yeah.
And even some of those videos, you know, when you sometimes rewind a video, the top end breaks off, they have to be opened up and fixed. They're like that, you know.
Okay.
So I don't, I mean, there's also, I did commercials on telly, like a breakdancing Egyptian mummy for Julian Temple, the director, back in the 70s. I mean, I think I got £100 for it, you know, because I used to do a lot of dancing and stuff. And they had to stick me into the costume. It was an Egyptian mummy suit, and they actually had to glue me into it all the way up the back, so they had to cut me out at the end of the day. That costume's here. It's now in the haunted cellar as the mummy that sits there.
That's awesome. And, so that was your you were breakdancing in that very mummy, right?
Yeah, I did. You know the kids from Fame? You know that jump
yeah.
where they touch your toes? Well, I had to do that. And we did that for about an hour until I'd really had enough. I did all this breakdancing. I used to do, when disco came in back in the day, it kind of put us all out of work for people doing, I was doing rock clubs in London, like the Speakeasy, the Marquee, all these famous music clubs. And disco came in, and those clubs still kind of carried on, but then punk started happening in them. And
yeah.
So it was hard for me to work. So I did a Mickey take, what do you call it in America? A pastiche, a joke version of John Travolta's
Saturday Night Fever.
Staying Alive, and it included an 8-foot expanding male member, right? And it used to do the finger thing where you go from side to side, up and down, that pointy move.
Yeah.
Well, I'd be doing all that, and so was the... And what was he pointing at? Oh, now we know. It's his genital. And it
yeah.
was very fun. Terry Gilliam, the famous film director, came to see it.
Of course.
He saw it in a club, and he told me then it was the funniest thing he'd ever seen without words. He said, it's the funniest thing. He was in pain. The audience loved it. It was very funny. But that was years ago. There's no film of that, I hope. But, you know, it's been a long and varied career of very different things, you know.
That is incredible, and I would hope it was on tape, but I guess that is in vain.
It was before anyone had camcorders. No one had them then. It was like a video camera was a big thing. You know, it was like a large. It was like the size of a TV screen then.
This
you
is
know,
crazy. Big, so you, so you mean you couldn't just live stream stuff onto the internet from your phone?
Not in the 70s.
Ah,
no,
what is
no
that? The Middle Ages?
Like,
come on!
They had like Super 8, you know, and cine cameras. So they didn't have video cameras. They did. A few people had video machines. They were enormous, great clunking machines, and the cameras were vast. They were very expensive, so you didn't have any kind of camcorder. There was nothing around. It's such a shame. Imagine all the stuff we've missed.
Indeed, I mean, they're all through history. When we can't take pictures and instantly upload them to the internet. All right, well, I'll tell you what, this podcast has maybe gone double the length, and I've never been happier to say that, because Simon Drake has been a fantastic guest. I think instant classic, but I would like to thank you very, very much for taking the time to do the show.
Well, it's a great honor to be on the Jay Leno show. What can
yeah.
I say?
not quite, but if you guys heard anything on this episode of the Magic Week in Review that you would like to comment on, remember, it is show@itricks.com, or you can leave a comment on this week's post on iTrix. And something tells me we're going to have to split this into a couple things, maybe a few teasers, because we definitely have enough standalone kind of material. But
great.
Okay, the big plugs once again, Secret Cabaret, available at Secret Cabaret. Is it .com or .co.uk?
That one's .com.
Okay, secretcabaret.com. Or if you are in the UK area or visiting, you make sure to visit houseofmagic.co.uk, which is not only where you can see Simon Drake live and have a fantastic 40th or 50th birthday party or any other birthday party, as long as you're not going to be drunken and thrown out, but also see the breakdancing mummy rap. Again, houseofmagic.co.uk.
That's it.
All right.
UK. And come during the Christmas season. I'll give you my cold. It's an extra bit of merchandising.
Indeed. Come on. Now, how many times are you going to dine out on that story that I got sick because
yeah,
Simon
exactly.
Drake sneezed in my face?
Famous people's colds I have caught. Well, I don't class myself as famous. I'm kind of known to a few people.
Well, I'll tell you what, to the listeners of this podcast, you're Elvis. So you're very, very much welcome here whenever you get the air to talk about Magic.
You call me anytime. We'll talk about anyone in Magic or anything else for that matter.
Indeed, indeed. And you certainly will be on our list of repeat guests. But until next week, I am Justin Robert Young for the Magic Week in Review on iTricks.com.
iTricks.com.